Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends all around the world. Next Tuesday, March 1, has the words Mardi Gras on the calendar. I wonder what that means to you, wherever you live in the world. In our recent days with Moses and the Hebrews preparing to leave 40 years of wandering the desert and move into the land of Canaan, we have come to one of Moses' farewell messages, which contains some powerful verses which address what Mardi Gras symbolizes, at least in some parts of the world. I see it in Deuteronomy 18, verse 9 to 13, and I invite us today to dig in and see what God has for us to understand here as Mardi Gras 2022 approaches. Moses said to the people, "When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord." Deuteronomy 18, verse 9 to 12. Repeatedly, Moses had been calling the Israelites to recognize how unique they are as a people of God, and therefore how their values, their lifestyles, their families, their relationships with each other, their morality, their business ethics, and their relationship with God should all be rooted in the word holy, because God is holy. The Apostle Peter echoed this strong sentiment. "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. The word detestable is a powerful word, isn't it, my friends? It seems to take ugly or wicked or evil to a whole different level. Some things that we humans think, say, choose, or do are detestable to God. It means they are abhorrent, and they motivate God to a judgment response. Moses gave us a very specific list in Deuteronomy 18, didn't he? Look at the first one. "Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire." This has been a horrible but not uncommon practice in many different cultures down through the generations. In some cases, when pagan worship is unusually desperate in extreme circumstances, parents have actually killed their children. Often the distorted thinking behind this is that the gods or demons the worshippers are seeking to contact will be moved to action by such outrageous, desperate acts of a parent sacrificing their child. But I have an important question for us to consider in 2022. What is the difference between parents sacrificing their living children on altars of desperate worship, or parents sacrificing their living unborn children through abortion? It's all detestable to the Lord. And Moses continued, "Let no one be found among you who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or is a medium or spiritist, or consults the dead." Now that's very clear, isn't it, my friends? Depending on the part of the world where you live, these people and their demonic trade may go by different names, but it's all the same. Human beings contacting Satan and the demons. In doing so, they are rejecting holy God, of course, for you cannot live long in the antithetical attempts to have a relationship with both Jesus and Satan at the same time. Perhaps you're wondering, why? Why is God so opposed to any efforts by human beings to have contact with Satan or demons or the evil dark world? It's because Satan and those fallen angels, demons, rebelled against God. They once were all holy angels living in God's presence, but Satan became jealous and led a rebellion against God, seeking to become God's replacement as the supreme leader in the universe, with all allegiance of the angels coming to him. You'll see it described in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 15, and Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12 to 17. God threw Satan and all the angels who joined him in this rebellion out of heaven, and they established the kingdom of darkness, which is always fully opposed to God, God's truth, God's purposes, and God's people. You'll see Jesus refers to this in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, and John chapter 8, verse 44. Therefore, any attempt by any person to glorify or celebrate or honor or have contact with the kingdom of darkness is open rejection of holy God and a defiant blaspheme, a mockery of all Jesus Christ has done to make it possible for us humans to be redeemed by God and rescued from our sin condemnation. Now, friends, I urge you to read that again. Ponder it deeply. Do you understand this? Moses concluded this powerful statement in Deuteronomy 18 with this warning. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable practices, the Lord will drive out the nations before you. You must be holy and blameless before the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 18, 12 and 13. This is clear, isn't it, my friends? But may I give you a remarkable announcement of good news? While the actions of attempts to contact the demonic world are detestable to God, the human beings caught up in this are people God desires to see rescued from this bondage and drawn to Jesus. These are people Jesus died for, and he paid the full price for their redemption and sin forgiveness. Both the apostles Paul and Peter addressed this issue in their writings. Paul was moved by the Holy Spirit to call the Ephesians Christians to consider that the dark kingdom works continually to develop schemes against followers of Jesus. But we need not fear, for we have the power of God in us if we have placed our full trust in Jesus, and God has accomplished the full work of his salvation and transformation in us. Paul wrote, "Be strong in the Lord Jesus and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand." Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 13. Do you hear Paul's call to courageous standing firm against all schemes of the dark kingdom? Do you understand how to do that, my friends? As you continue reading this powerful section of Scripture, do you see Paul is warning us that the devil and his dark kingdom are continually scheming to attack us, especially those of us who have trusted Jesus to save us from our sin bondage? Do you also see Paul's calls to understand the spiritual weapons God has made available to all who are redeemed by Jesus? Paul calls it the armor of God, using a military metaphor. Paul says, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the gospel of peace and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray on all occasions." Ephesians 6, 14 to 18. Do you see, my friends, how these verses are in direct contrast with the efforts of those who seek to connect with the dark kingdom through sorcery and divination and magic and all other activities Moses named? God's truth will always be a target of attack by lying Satan and his deceitful demons, according to Jesus' words in John 8, 44. Satan reminding us of our sinfulness is always a scheme of the darkness, but as Christ followers, we can celebrate our forgiveness and our justification. God has declared us righteous, forgiven, cleansed, according to Romans 5 and 2 Corinthians 5:21. Our faith in God is a powerful weapon with which we defeat the demonic schemes of doubt, fear, worry, shame, and every other emotion the devil tries to overwhelm us with. Oh, my friends, I urge you to read and reread Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 18, and celebrate God's truth to you, available to you, of the powerful ability God gives you to stand strong in the face of the schemes of the dark kingdom. Finally, in closing today, let's ponder Moses' closing appeal to those Hebrews standing before him in Deuteronomy 18, verse 13. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. It is both a warning and a call to courage for these people and for us. The Apostle John echoed Moses' words for his generation and for us with these words. This is the message we have heard from him, that's Jesus, and we declare to you God is light. That means holy and truthful. In him there is no darkness, no evil, no deceit at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1, 5-8. So, my friends, as we consider the approach of Mardi Gras on the eve of Ash Wednesday, and you contrast what those 2 days symbolize, I wonder what you hear today from God's Word as a call from God to you and me to live holy lives and reject at all times every attempt at the dark kingdom to draw us away from God and into the immoral, unethical evil of darkness all around us. May I urge us to talk with Jesus about this today. And here's a song to help us consider our call to be holy as God's people.